Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. We actually have a special post-election episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Stop.
But Edward is my favorite conservative, and this is an audio-only episode.
Okay, thank you.
So we're recording on Wednesday, November 6th, 2024, so the day after the election. And just in case you check our numbers, we are recording at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay.
Just in case, because we don't have all the numbers yet.
So anything going on that we should know about?
Yes, it was a
that's my self-satisfying laugh.
Oh, okay, don't be smug. It's not a good look for you.
Well, they can't see me.
I know, but I can see you. I'm telling you. Okay, so we did want to start. Edward freaking promised me this is the last time we're doing polls, people. And I think this is actually a great example of polls lie, and not on purpose, but people don't tell the truth. So what we're going to do is we are going to look at the battleground states only, and we're going to report what we had, 3 days ago at our last live show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then tell you what the actual result was, because clearly Donald J. Trump is the 47th president of the United States, so those polls lied.
All right.
Should I go out east?
Start us on the East Coast.
Okay. So in Pennsylvania, just 3 days ago on Sunday, Trump was up 0.4. The actual result was he won by 1.9. Still slim, but yeah. North Carolina, 3 days ago, Trump was up 1.4 and he won by 3.4. Now, I didn't have any concerns about North Carolina. I really didn't. And then in Georgia, Trump was up 2.3. He won by 2.2.
So they got that one pretty much on the nose.
Yes, they did, actually. So he held the East Coast. Now, here's the real interesting part. Take us to the Midwest.
The upper Midwest. Let's go to Michigan.
Yes.
And Kamala Harris, 3 days ago, was favored at 0.6. And Donald Trump won at 1.5%.
And they called Michigan late. They didn't call it until today, this afternoon. Yes.
And in Wisconsin, the next door neighbor, Harris was favored by 0.3. And Trump actually won it by 1 point.
I was shocked. I actually didn't think he was going to get Wisconsin. I don't know why.
You and I were completely opposite on that.
I know.
I knew he had, because he won it in 2016.
Right.
He lost it last time by a half a percentage point.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes, but he got both of them.
I was shocked at Michigan.
And neither one of us predicted that.
Yeah. She actually lost a lot of the Muslim vote in Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they turned against her pretty harshly.
Maybe they saw through her. All right, let's go out west. All right, in Nevada, which was called very late today, Trump was up 1.2 3 days ago. He ended up actually winning by 4.7.
Oops.
But they didn't call Nevada until just a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and go ahead.
And in Arizona, Trump was favored up 2.9. It looks like he's going to win it. They haven't officially called it yet, but he's up 4.9. So,
right. Yeah,
the only one that was actually accurate was Georgia.
Yeah.
Everything else was
way off.
Yeah, off substantially.
So those silent Trump voters.
It is. You know, and if you remember, we were doing the predictit.org.
And there was
a huge change.
There was
this last couple of days where Trump had a 20-point lead, and then all of a sudden he was down like 7 or 8 or 9, whatever
that
it was.
That happened on the garbage day.
It did. Okay.
The
garbage, Trump supporters are garbage. But it was also the result of a pollster in Iowa.
That's right.
And she is supposedly this guru in Iowa. And initially Trump was beating Biden by 18 points. Kamala gets in the race. He's up 4 points. And then just the other day, this woman, the pollster, changes it and says Kamala's up 3 points.
I got news for you. Guess what? Kamala lost Iowa. Shocker.
She lost it by 14, I believe it was.
Yeah, yeah. Shocker.
Yeah. So she was only off by 17 points, the pollster.
So this pollster's career is going to go the way of Dick Morris.
Possibly. Or but pollsters are like economists. You never have to be right. You keep moving on to the next poll.
But I think this really goes to show that there were a lot of people that were never going to say on the record they would vote for Trump.
I think especially up in the when we were doing Michigan and Wisconsin, those people are a little bit more private, you know, yes. Especially the rural people.
Sure.
Yeah. So you're not going to get a really good gauge on them.
Yes. All right. So our show, since we don't have a live show this weekend, mm-hmm. is we are just going to talk about the election results. And I will wrap this up toward the end. But this was a very stressful night for me. It was a very stressful night.
Not because of the results.
No, okay. Because of the people in the room.
Okay, we're going to touch on that later.
Yes, I guess so.
All right, that sounds good.
All right, so let's talk about what I think was the surprise. Now, this could change, but it doesn't look like it will.
Okay, what is that?
You and I talked about this, that if Trump did not win the popular vote, everybody was going to go, was going to talk about the Electoral College. We need to fix it. It's wrong. It's bad, blah, blah, blah. Because we heard that before. And we've heard that in many, many, many elections. And I said to you yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, that if this is a true referendum on the Democratic Party and how far left it's gone, then he has to win the popular vote. So give us the results, Edward.
Lo and behold, he has won the popular vote.
Yeah, yes. Let's go back in history.
Yeah, so we wanted to look back because there's an anomaly in the last few years that we thought we'd take a quick look at. You know, let's start back in 2012 with Barack Obama. You know, Mr. Popular Democrat.
Yeah.
A lot of crossover. He got 66 million votes.
And he won the popular vote.
Yeah, he won the popular vote easily. Six million.
These are candidates that have won the popular vote.
Well, yeah, but we'll give both of them here in a second here. So let's move to 2016. You've got Hillary.
Yeah.
Remember, the big complaint was she lost the Electoral College, but she won the popular vote. She also got 66 million votes, just like Barack Obama did. Donald Trump got 63, so she beat him by about 3 million
votes. And people made a big deal about that.
Oh,
And I remember posting on my personal Facebook that if you took away New York and California, she would have won the popular vote. And I got all this backlash, and I was just making a point that California and New York do not represent the entire country.
No.
All right.
But let's move to 2020.
Yes, so this is very interesting.
Let's just remember, Clinton and Obama both got 66 million votes. Right. Then all of a sudden, the charismatic Joe Biden, who didn't come out of his basement, gets 81 million votes.
And he holds the record for the most votes in the history.
Oh, yes. By far. Yeah.
By far. Yeah. Yes.
And Donald Trump went from 63 to 74. He increased 11 million. And I think he's the only sitting president that increased and lost.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay. Yes.
And now we come to 2024.
May I?
Please do.
So as of right now, at the time of this recording, again, this is the day after the election. This is 8 o'clock or so Central Time. Harris has approximately 69 million votes. So a little more than Obama and Clinton, but far less than Biden.
Yes.
And Trump has 75 million votes. And the only state that's not 100% in right now that's holding back is Arizona.
But I have added those numbers in, at least what they have. They're going to actually increase a little bit. But
it shows that Trump improved over 2020.
Oh, yeah, indeed. But to me, the big thing that jumps out is Obama 66, Clinton 66, Biden 81, and Harris 69.
So I got two theories.
Please.
All right. Thank you. This is kind of fun not being on camera. I don't have to worry about the camera. So I think two things. One, you could definitely argue cheating 4 years ago. and the drop boxes, and, right. and Zuckerberg has even talked about that, et cetera. But also a lot of people stayed home. They stayed home because they didn't like either candidate.
That doesn't quite.
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of Democrats voted for Biden who didn't vote for Harris.
And so you're saying people stayed home this time?
Yes, this time.
Hmm.
And there was a lot of cheating last time.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yes, there was cheating, but you got to remember this was COVID.
That's
and
true.
And so they've kind of, a lot of states basically threw out all the rules that they had, and they mailed out everybody got a ballot, whether you wanted one or not, which leads to a lot of
fraud.
Cheating. Yeah.
Fraud. I'm just going to say fraud.
So, yeah. So anyway, thought it'd be interesting. Donald Trump has won the popular vote. The last time a Republican won the popular vote was 2004, George W. Bush over John Kerry.
Yep.
And before that was 1984 was Ronald Reagan versus
Mondale. You know, Walter so it's kind of interesting because this is literally a second term for Trump. It's very similar to those two. It's not consecutive, but it's similar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very similar.
Yeah, indeed.
All right. So are we going to dive into our next topic?
Let's do it.
All right. So we want to talk about what hurt Kamala the most. And I just, before we dive in, SNL put Kamala on Saturday night, 3 days before the election. And by the way, what was that fine they had to pay?
Well, yeah, they ended up having to give Donald Trump equal airtime
yes.
on another popular show.
Yes, yes, because you can't do that.
Yeah, it's an FCC violation, an election violation, and they knew it, yeah. but they did it anyway.
They didn't care. All right, so let's talk about what hurt Kamala the most, and let's do a deep dive.
Well, quite simply, she didn't have any policies that she could articulate.
I agree. She was terrible.
Yes.
She was terrible. And she lacked the charisma of a Barack Obama, and she lacked the intellect of Hillary Clinton. And the DNC was trying to convince us, along with the, I'll say it, mainstream media, that she was somehow both of these things combined.
Yeah, well, I've always said she has Hillary's charm and Joe Biden's intelligence. There's quite a combination.
I also think because she didn't have policies, and we saw this really in the last couple of weeks,
yeah.
right? She went super, super negative. Yeah. And it was very interesting to see is every time she went negative, Trump went positive.
Yeah, Trump stayed very positive,
he did.
Especially about the last month of the campaign.
Yes, yes. But the more she became negative, the more positive he became.
Yeah, Michelle Obama came out and gave...
At the last minute.
Yeah, and gave this speech
oh, God.
Of basically, women, you need to defy your husbands because they're wife beaters.
Oh, God,
and
it was so bad.
It was just a very divisive speech. And then Barack Obama meets with young black men that were trending towards Trump and basically scolds them that they're misogynists.
Yeah, I love the way you have it labeled here. I want to give you credit. The campaign of guilt.
Yeah, yeah.
And that did not work. You know, I think it's very interesting that Barack and Michelle Obama went that negative, went the guilt route when he was all about hope and change. He was hope and change guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. But also, I think what really hurt this campaign is they just tried too many tactics, right? It was, you know, J.D. Vance is weird
yep.
and, you know, Trump is Hitler
yep.
or, you know, just about a dozen things they just kept trying over and over and over. Nothing was really sticking. And, you know, if you also remember, when she was actually appointed, keyword appointed.
Yes. She was not voted.
The nominee.
She was not voted to
correct.
Be the nominee.
She didn't give her first interview for 80 days.
Yes.
That's almost 3 months.
Yeah. Well, that was because during 2020, they did a very good job because of COVID. They used it as an excuse to hide Biden, keep him in the basement, and it worked. And I think they thought that they were going to get away with it this time, and that did not work. And then they did the opposite. And let's talk about the results of that.
Well, the more people saw of her, the less they liked her.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, she tried to, she was given so many softball interviews.
So many.
Good God. And they were just, in fact, it wasn't even softball. It was T-ball, right? So the ball wasn't even moving. It was just sitting there on the tee, and she's whiffing it. And you know, when they're asking her, what would you do differently from Joe Biden?
Which she definitely should have known the answer to.
Really? Yeah. I think she did. She should have. Yes. It was just.
I mean, we've heard from a few Kamala supporters in our inner circle who said, we can't believe she did not know how to answer that question.
Yeah. As an aside, you know, Kamala has gone through 92% of her staff as vice president. And the knock against her was, is the staff would work their butts off and get all these briefing books together and give them to her, and she wouldn't look at them. And then she would just absolutely tank the interview and come back and ream out her staff. But let me finish this.
Okay.
So I was thinking about that today.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what this morning was like at Kamala's headquarters?
No.
Because she's not going to take the blame.
Well, here's the thing. I think to me, as someone who runs a company, I think the sign of a great leader is someone who takes responsibility, even if technically it might not be her fault, although in Kamala's, you know, it's usually her fault. But I think at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. And if you're the head of a campaign, you know, if you're the head of a company, if whatever, you have to take responsibility. And it's not fun. I'm just going to say it's not fun, but that's what you signed up for.
She just
could not do it. And she's also, you didn't put this as a bullet point, but I'm going to throw it in and just, you know, bring on the hate. I don't care. She lacks intellectual depth.
Or curiosity. Even.
And curiosity. Yeah. She really, really does. Please, guys, go back and look at the history of her career. And it started with Willie Brown and an affair. And that got her started, and then she continued. But, and I'm not saying he opened every door for her, but that's where it started. That's where her political career started. She's never had to work very hard for anything. And when she did run for president in 2019, she didn't even make it through the primary.
Let me give you a funny aside here to
that. Okay.
So Willie Brown was the kingmaker. Absolutely. In California. He was head of the assembly and everything else. So if Willie Brown, you know, tapped you on the shoulder, you were in.
Yes.
So when she decides to run for president in 2019, Willie Brown actually penned an op-ed to the San Francisco Chronicle, basically saying, you probably shouldn't vote for her. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He was like, she's not ready.
Everyone's going to find that. And we got to put that in the show notes. You got to find it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's flip it and let's talk about why did Trump win? Because this was, I can't even look at Facebook right now, but briefly, when I looked at it for a whole 60 seconds this morning, this is shocking to people. Shocking. And it should not be. So let's talk about why he won.
Well, he laid out a vision.
Amen.
And, you know, policy after policy after policy on what he was going to do with the border and inflation and, you know, any other details, you know, trade and tariffs, everything. He got into the into the minutia with it versus Kamala would say everybody has hopes, dreams and aspirations. Right.
You know, Megyn Kelly couldn't get enough of
that's
that.
True.
That
I was, know. Megyn loved that. But yeah, every aspect of what was affecting people and crime, you know, in their lives, he addressed.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He also worked his freaking tail off. I mean, and everyone talks about how he has more energy than anyone in the room, everyone younger than him, but he completely outworked her. I mean, she would take 2 days off to prepare for an interview.
For an interview, yes.
For a debate. And these were softball interviews, as we said before. And yeah, he completely outworked her.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, nobody's going to outwork Donald Trump. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, the man survives on Big Macs and Diet Coke. Right. It works
true.
For him.
That's true. So another reason why I think he did win.
Yes.
Was it July 13th, I believe?
It was July.
Was the first assassination attempt.
Yeah, I think in so, Butler, Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And obviously he survived, and you do get a lot of sympathy from that.
Well, no, it was his reaction.
Yeah. To the oh, of course. People
he got up and said, fight, fight, fight. And he didn't back down. And in that moment, he became a folk hero.
Absolutely. And that was the moment that drove Elon Musk into his camp.
It did.
Yeah. When Elon Musk said, when I saw that, I knew that's a guy I wanted to be with.
A true African-American, I'm just saying. South African-American.
That is true.
Okay. What else?
The Republicans, surprisingly, I mean, to me, this is a massive surprise. They actually had the better ground game.
This time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think they've ever had a better ground game. But the RNC, led by Michael Whatley and Laura Trump, completely turned that organization around.
And they really got out the early vote. Because in the past, Republicans did not do early voting, but this time.
Well, I blame that on Trump, because he kind of in 2020, he kind of poo-pooed the whole idea of early voting. And then he realized, oops, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And this time he really encouraged people to get out there. So,
you know, and I want to add one more thing. The reason I think he won, especially with independents like me, is he had much, and it goes along with a better ground game. He had much better support, not only with Trump loyalists, like obviously everyone in his family, but with Vivek Ramaswamy, with Tulsi Gabbard, former Democrat turned Republican, with Robert RFKJ. That's the only way I can say him, but with Robert J. Kennedy Jr. It feels so weird to say it like that. But he, you know, he wanted to run in a Democratic primary and they wouldn't let him. They would not let him. Elon Musk, as Edward just said. And then at the very last moment, Joe Rogan, I believe the day before the election, after having a conversation with Elon Musk, said, all right, I get it. But the other thing is, I'll add to that, is Donald Trump was not afraid to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And he went on Joe Rogan for 3 hours. And so did his Veep, now Vice President-elect, J.D. Vance, went on Joe Rogan for 3 hours. They offered Kamala the same thing. And she said, no, you have to come to me.
Yeah.
And I'll only do an hour. And of course, Joe Rogan, the most successful podcaster of all time, was like, F you.
Right.
So,
yeah, you need me more than I need you.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I really think that he built more support among the independents that he really needed.
Yeah, and these were true independents. You
Absolutely.
Know, Kamala surrounds herself with all the same old Hollywood celebrities. You know.
Let's talk about that.
Shall we?
The celebrities, it didn't work.
Yeah, did not matter.
Shocker,
at all.
Shocker. Guess what? The average person cannot relate to you, Oprah. The average person cannot relate to you, Taylor Swift. You guys are billionaires.
Beyonce.
Average person. Well, here's the thing about Beyonce. Let's be honest. Beyonce was at one rally one time, the very end, for Kamala. She didn't show up. Okay, here's the difference between Beyonce and, let's say, Elon Musk. Elon Musk campaigned the last couple of weeks with Donald Trump because he wanted to. He wasn't paid to be there. He genuinely wanted to be there and support Donald Trump. Beyonce showed up for, I think, 3 minutes. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I know for sure she didn't sing, and she got paid $10 million.
You know, and putting it in perspective, if he'd offered Elon Musk $10 million to show up, I think he has that in his seat cushions and his couch cushions.
Right.
Right. So,
point is, Elon Musk wanted to be there.
Correct.
And to get Beyonce to show up and talk for a couple of minutes, you had to pay her.
4 minutes she spoke for $10 million, supposedly.
Yes. And didn't sing. And they suggested she was going to sing and she did not. So they lied to their own people.
Yeah, that usually doesn't make for happy campers that have shown up to possibly hear
Beyonce. Oh, they 100% did.
All right.
All right. So let's transition into very specific populations that Trump won.
He did a great job, first off, with Black men. He won 20% of that vote, which is huge. And if he can translate a little bit of that into women, it'll be unstoppable. But to me, I think the biggest change that we saw, a sea change, is with Hispanics.
Okay, let's talk about it.
He won 45% of the Hispanic vote.
Overall Hispanic vote. Okay.
That is massive. And an incredible example is out of Starr County, Texas. Starr County is right on the Mexican border.
Yep.
It is the most Hispanic county in the country.
Okay.
And they had not elected any Republicans for 134 years in that county.
So go back in history.
Right. In 2016, Donald Trump lost this county 80-20. That was in 2020. Sorry, in 2020, he lost it 80-20. So he lost it by 60%. I typed it in wrong.
All right.
This year, in 2024, instead of losing 80-20, he won 58-42%.
Okay, so this is a total typo.
Yes.
What you're saying. Correct. Okay. See? It's good. People can't see. I think the other thing Trump did well was people remember that under Donald Trump, the unemployment rate for, I think it wasn't just Black men specifically, but the whole Black population was the lowest it had ever been in history.
Yeah. And I think with the Hispanic thing, that it is a huge telling number, winning Hispanics by that much, because everybody thought if Trump gets tough on the border, that's it, it's over.
Oh, no.
Guess what? The Hispanic population that's here legally wants.
Wait. What did you say? What was that word?
Legally. Yes. They are here legally.
Yes.
Yes. They support him. And those are the ones that are allowed to vote.
Every legal immigrant that I know does not support illegal immigration because they busted their ass to get here legally.
Yeah.
Agreed. And they worked. And it took years. It took years. Yeah. So that does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on was, so Trump wins. And I was actually watching the CNN panel last night, and
yes, well, I decided to actually sleep.
You were snoozing.
Yes,
so David Axelrod, who was Barack Obama's guru of all of his campaigns and things like that, so he was on the panel.
Okay.
And he starts to talk to the conservative or the Republican that was on the panel also, and saying that it would behoove Donald Trump to be magnanimous in this victory and not to rub it in or anything like that. And the Republican on it, I don't remember what his name was, he said, you know what? Donald Trump's been persecuted for a long time.
Yeah.
And he deserves a little bit of, hey, let your hair down and enjoy it. And don't have to have this stoic, oh, well, thank you very much. You know, so I wanted to look back.
I'm going to interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of his acceptance speech. It actually was very magnanimous.
Good.
It really was. Yeah.
But what Donald Trump has been through. And by the way, so David Axelrod also tried to blame Trump for any of the bad things that happened against him because he's Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I just got to thinking, you know, just look back quickly. In 2016, when Donald Trump was elected, took office 2017, and immediately the lifers in the government formed the resistance.
Yep, they did.
And it was an open secret.
It was.
So they're forming a resistance to resist Donald Trump's policies from the inside.
Yes, there was an X account. Formerly it was Twitter then. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
They then pushed this entire Russia hoax.
And it was a hoax.
For over 2 years.
Yep.
That was made up by the Hillary Rodham Clinton campaign and pushed for 2 years. The FBI knew it was a hoax. They played along with it too. Absolutely. In court documents, it can be, you know, sourced for sure. He was then impeached for a phone call with Zelensky in Ukraine.
That's right.
And it turns out hey, Donald Trump was right, because we all now know have the Hunter Biden laptop, which shows that Hunter was on the take over there getting money for things he shouldn't have been. He was then impeached again, even after he was out of office.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And they really thought that that would stop him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, basically, screw you. So what do? They indict him in four different courtrooms around the country, D.C., New York, Atlanta, and two in New York, I believe. Yeah.
Yep.
They then raid his house, his private house in Mar-a-Lago.
Yes. Right? For keeping documents, and every president in history has done that.
And the only reason Joe Biden wasn't charged, because the special prosecutor said he did commit crimes, but he's an elderly gentleman with a poor memory. That's the only reason he didn't get charged.
Right.
So we then have an assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Which, you know, comes within millimeters of going through his brain.
Right.
We then have, a few weeks later, it was only like 2 weeks later, I think it was three. Was it?
But it was a plan.
Another assassination attempt at a golf course in Palm Beach, Florida.
An almost attempt.
Yeah.
The guy didn't actually get a round off, but yeah.
Yeah. No, he had the gun. Planned. He had the gun pointed.
He did.
Yes, for sure. After that, you would think that the media might take that as maybe we're kind of the over-the-top rhetoric, but they continue up through the last days of the campaign calling him Hitler, Stalin, Mussolini, you name it. And those, and in fact, one of those assassins, that was the exact rhetoric they were using too in their manifestos. So this guy has been through a lot.
And he has said this before, but let's reiterate, this is not a career politician.
No.
This man does not need this job. His net worth actually went down after his first presidency. And he doesn't need this. And I think that's what's so appealing about him to so many Americans is here's someone, a billionaire, stepping up because he just wants to see his country on the right track.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people are saying is he's going to go on this revenge tour and whatnot.
I don't think so.
That's not Donald. If he did, Hillary Clinton would have already been in jail.
Yeah.
Right. From then initially.
I think he's going to take a page out and correct me. I have had a glass of wine or two. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm depressed or anything, but just because, I think he's going to take a page out of, is it Eisenhower book of not prosecuting Nixon? Not Eisenhower.
No,
sorry.
Ford.
Thank you. See, I've had some wine.
Okay.
Ford got a lot of grief for not going after Nixon, but Ford
for pardoning him.
But Ford wanted to do what was best for this country. And Trump, as Edward just said, could have gone after Clinton, did not. So the question now is, will he pardon the January 6th prisoners? And we had a great, great guest on, Catherine McKinney. Go back and look at that episode just a few weeks ago, guest episode. I think he will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I think it's one of the biggest travesties. It once they finally get to the bottom and get the real stories out on this, it's not going to be a good chapter in the American history.
Now, here's one that a lot of commentators, including Megyn Kelly and others, have been debating. Will he pardon Hunter Biden?
I think there's a good chance. I think Joe might. You know, Joe's only got 2 months left.
Right. Joe could technically do it.
Yeah. Of course. So, yeah. But he has said in the past that he would not. So this may be a wink, wink, nod, nod. And Donald Trump says, don't worry, I'll do it kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't think Trump wants to. I don't think he's nearly as vindictive as people think he is.
No. And he can always say, you know what? I know what it's like to be hounded by the Justice Department. Right. You know, that sort of thing. But
I know you have some concerns.
Yeah. You know, in terms of just a completely separate area here, with Trump, you know, when he first came in 2016, he made a lot of mistakes, especially in personnel.
Because he just didn't know.
Right, didn't know. And you had so many jobs to fill. He's got a much better grip on it. Hopefully he gets like Mike Pompeo back at the Secretary of State. That would be awesome. But a big vote's coming up next week, and that is for the Senate Majority Leader. So
now he's president-elect. Does he have any say in that?
Yeah, because this is the new senators get to vote on their new leader.
Okay.
So Donald Trump needs to get involved in this process.
Okay.
This is Mitch McConnell is stepping down from his...
Which we mentioned in our last show, I think.
Yeah, he's stepping down as minority leader. Right. He would be majority leader, but he's still going to be a senator from Kentucky. And there are three candidates in the running for this. The first is John Cornyn, senator from Texas. Senator John Thune from South Dakota. And Senator Rick Scott from Florida.
Okay, I'm just going to say the South Dakota guy is not going to get it.
I actually think he has the best shot.
No.
I think that's not
what you said at dinner.
No, I think he does have the best shot. I just don't want it to be John Cornyn. Cornyn is you might as well just bring Mitch McConnell back. He's the same person.
So who do you want it to be?
I want it to be Rick Scott. Rick Scott is way more conservative and is...
All right. So we have a cat in the background that is upset that we are recording on a Wednesday night at 8:30. Where is she?
She's in a box.
Oh, good. Okay.
Anyway, so Donald Trump, I need you to channel your inner LBJ, your Lyndon Baines Johnson, where Johnson imposed his will on Congress.
Give examples.
He'd bring a congressman to the Oval Office. And Johnson was a big guy.
He was, just like Trump.
And he would, you know, the guy, the representative would walk in and he'd walk right up to him, like chest to chest, looking down at him. Or he'd invite him to sit in a chair and then he'd pull a chair right up and got touching knees.
Yeah.
And just to totally intimidate them. And Donald Trump he cannot make this mistake of putting a John Cornyn into that role or letting John Cornyn.
You know, given his choice for Veep with JD Vance, which went against a lot of advice, which I think was the best choice. I like JD Vance immensely. I've not hidden that. I think he will be tougher.
I certainly hope so, because this is something that, you know, we won the Senate. The Republicans won the Senate, and it could be 54, possibly 55 votes.
Yes.
So you've got a nice, comfortable margin there where you don't have to kowtow to everybody.
Right. And the House is still pending.
The House is still pending, but it looks solid for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Right now we're looking at like 223 to 215, or 212.
Yes.
And Donald Trump can't make this mistake of letting the Senate get away from him with a guy like John Cornyn.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. So it's got to be Rick Scott, in your opinion.
That would complete this entire week.
Right? Yeah, that would make you happy.
Yeah, that really would.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I wanted to share as the independent spiritual libertarian on this show, my personal thoughts about why election night was very difficult, and it might not be for the reasons people think.
Do share.
Okay, thank you. So my father was in town for personal reasons, just for two nights. And we did not plan it this way, nor did I want it this way, but he was here on election night.
He was staying with us.
He was staying with us in our home on election night. And here I was with my father, who was once a Reagan Republican, and that's what I grew up with. And I think he kind of changed right around George, not W, but
HW.
Thank you. I think that's when he changed. I know he definitely changed with Clinton. There's a whole backstory there. My father's from Arkansas, but anyway. And but my father, as he's gotten older, has gotten more and more liberal. Now, he does consider himself sort of an old school liberal. He doesn't like the word progressive per se. But I had him on one side, literally on my left side, which is deeply, deeply funny. And I had Edward on my right side, and they are getting into it. I mean, into it, like messy, nasty. It was my dad being an elitist, and he claims that title, by the way. And Edward being condescending, and he admitted that that's exactly what he was doing. And I just want to say, for other people out there who might be in my camp, where I am much more moderate, I literally fall in between the middle of the two of them. It got so overwhelming for me that I just got up and walked out of the room. And we were like an hour or two away from knowing for sure, but it was definitely trending Donald Trump's direction. There was no question about that. And I think what was hard for me, and I think this is what's happening, what I'm seeing even today with a lot of people, is the two men I love the most, my father and my partner for life, were at each other's throats.
No, there was no yelling going on.
Oh, there was a little. No. You were snide and he was yelling.
Okay.
Yes. But what's very interesting is that neither one of them took it personally.
No, not at all.
But I'm very empathetic and I was absorbing it all. And so I just want to say for the people out there, I think that, and I'm not going to say this is just women, but it could be a lot of women. I think if you're like me and you're more of a moderate and you're not an extreme on either side and you find yourself with family members. In fact, I know a lot of people actually, they have already decided not to talk about politics at Thanksgiving. I thought that was very interesting. But if you find yourself among family members and you're that person in the middle, you have this sort of response that happens. And typically when we're under stress, there are two responses that everyone's familiar with, and there are two others. And the ones that people are most familiar with are fight or flight. But there's also freeze and fawn. Fawn, I can't speak to. You'll have to talk to a therapist. I don't know much about it. But my tendency is either to fight, to leave, flight, or to freeze. And for a little while, I was sort of freezing. And then I was like, screw it. I need to go take a shower. I need to get out of here. And I'm only sharing this because at the end of the day, how my dad feels and how Edward feels does not affect how I feel about them. I love them both so, so much. It was just hard for me. And I realized actually, it had nothing to do with them. They weren't making it hard for me. They were having just a very animated discussion. And what was frustrating for me is that, as I've said on previous episodes, I'm not somebody who votes for someone as in vote against someone else. And it became very apparent early on, I think you'll agree, that my dad actually agreed with a lot of our positions.
Yeah. Can I jump in?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. As an example, and this is kind of what frustrated me the most, is he's an intelligent guy,
a former
Air Force officer. Right.
Yes.
So we talked about like the border.
Yes.
And his response was, it's horrible. We need to close the border.
And I don't believe in illegal immigration.
Right. Okay. I said, so, you know, adding $1.8 trillion in spending to the economy is going to cause inflation. He goes, oh yeah, that was the wrong thing to do.
And he has a background in finance, just like you.
Yeah. And everything that we were bringing up, he was agreeing with. And I said, but you still voted for Kamala Harris. It's only because he hates Trump.
Yeah, it wasn't a vote for Harris.
No, not at all. He hates every one of her policies, pretty much.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Transgender, you name it.
He does. And I think that's what's very fascinating. One of the things we didn't comment on here is that it would be, and I don't know how you dissect this because people would have to be honest and they're not going to be, but how many of those votes for Kamala Harris were not for her and her policies, but they were a vote against Trump? And I can tell you from my personal Facebook feed, and and I keep it very small and tight with people I actually know, very different from my public persona. I can tell you right now what I'm seeing in my Facebook feed is people didn't vote for Kamala because they thought she was the best candidate. They didn't vote for her because they loved her policies. And what's really interesting is I haven't even seen any women bring up abortion. It was a vote against Trump, just like my dad. Just like my dad. And again, personally, like, I respect your right to do that. I just don't understand it, which is why I hadn't voted in so long, because I just don't like voting for someone as a vote against someone else. I want to be excited about a candidate.
All right.
So the moral of the story is, people, okay, if you have an Edward and an Andrea dad on the literally opposite sides of the political spectrum, do not spend election night with these two people. All right.
Presidential election that was extremely important.
Extremely important. Don't do it. Do not do it. Go out with your other girlfriends who are moderates like you and have some wine and just stay out of it.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
It was a tough night for me.
It was.
I just disappeared because I had to.
What I find kind of interesting, as I was a bond trader for my whole career, and you're used to, you know, arguments and whatever, you know, being forceful with people, things like that. And I looked at her, I'm like, well, your dad and I, we're fine. We don't, you know, neither one of us holds any animosity, whatever. So
well, I would say that's two things. One, you're both from a finance background. Yeah. So you are used to that, okay. Right? He wasn't a bond trader, but finance nevertheless. And you're both men. Men don't hold personal grudges the way women do.
Correct.
Yeah, at all, which is probably why I have more male friends. But I was very surprised that for this audio only episode, you still found us a very funny.
I did. I can't wait to do this one. This is so perfect.
It is perfect.
This is from our friend Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Headline: People with Harris signs in panic after receiving letters and postcards thanking them for volunteering to house migrant families. All right. So here's the article. Kamala Harris supporters across the country have been left rattled after receiving letters and postcards suggesting they will be, quote, volunteering to house migrant families. While Democrats have championed open borders and humanitarian migrant policies, it seems that when the issue is brought to their own doorsteps, literally, enthusiasm fades. One Harris supporter in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, was shocked after receiving what appeared to be a postcard from Harris's campaign. When she flipped it over, the message informed her that a family of migrants from Nicaragua would be moving into her home, even specifying the date and listing food and transportation needs. It actually said, "Thank you for supporting Kamala. We are so appreciative of you putting out a yard sign, but now we need your continued help.
Oh, Lord.
We will be moving a family of two from the country of Nicaragua into your home on 10/30/24. They will need food, toiletries, and transportation. Thank you." So it seems like some people around the country have decided, if you're got one of these, you know, signs out in your front yard that says no person's illegal, or, you know, science is water, or whatever the crap they say, right, that you must be wanting to go ahead and house these people.
Yes.
I think that'd be a great idea.
So it was a joke.
Yes. But it was very right to the point.
Yes.
You're a hypocrite.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's nothing I hate more, really.
Correct. So, yeah, just really funny. Yeah. These people are like freaking out because they're thinking all of a sudden they're going to get a knock on the door from a little family from Nicaragua or something. That's awesome.
Okay. So we thank you so much for listening to this audio only episode. The video, even though it's audio only, will go live on Sunday, November 10th. Edward's out of town, so that's why we're not doing a live recap with the camera on. And then, as always, the podcast will go live on Monday, November 11th. So happy Veterans Day to all of you. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And then the following weekend, we have a special guest episode, and it's pretty hilarious. Wonderful person I know. And we did this interview weeks ago, predicted the election, and you and I were both correct.
Okay.
Yeah. We were. So it's very interesting. I think it's a great interview because you'll see that people from different sides of the aisle can come together and have a very intelligent, calm, unlike election night with you and my dad, conversation. But we will be back live the weekend before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's kind of late this year.
Yay.
Yeah. So we will be back live on Sunday, November 24th, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. And if you are listening to the podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast available wherever you're listening right now. And you can support our show by joining our Locals community. And then, as always, if you want to reach out to us, you want to email us, you want to get on the list, you want to leave a voicemail, go to myfavoriteconservative.com conservative.show. That's my favorite conservative.show. And I just want to tell Edward here, I'm going to need for the show notes here, the Week in Woke.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much. And we hope you survive the next couple of weeks.
Yes. It should be interesting and see if any challenges or whatnot by Democrats, and we'll be on top of it.
Well, you know what? I want to throw one more thing out.
Please do.
One of the things I really wanted, and I sent this to a friend of mine who's pretty apolitical. I said, no matter what happens on election night, I hope we know the results by the next day. And that has happened.
We did. Yeah,
we do. And so, yeah, good luck with those challenges, because it's not going to work.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.